Isaiah chapter 9. So I said in Sunday school that I didn't like being called preacher. Really, it's not one of my favorite terms. And now I have some people that are calling me that, trying to get on my nerves here. All right, in a little bit. Isaiah chapter 9. This is the last sermon series, the last in the sermon series about the names of God in Isaiah chapter 9 as we celebrate Christmas and Jesus is coming to earth. So this is good. In just a few days, we'll be able to open gifts. We'll be able to open gifts in just a few days. And yet, I think we'll lose track of the great gift that we were given 2,000 years ago. And so we need to just focus our attention this morning, and I want to encourage you that this week that you'd make it the most spiritual Christmas that you've ever had. Forget about Santa Claus. All that's great. Nothing wrong with it, but this season is about Jesus, and we want to keep our focus on that. So Isaiah chapter 9, by way of reminder here, let's read our passage. So this is a culture that Isaiah the prophet is writing to, a culture far from God, a culture that's seeking mediums and has problems. And Isaiah writes into this culture, verse 19, chapter 8, when they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no dawn. They will pass through the land, hard-pressed and famished. It will turn out when they are hungry. They will be enraged and curse their king and their God as they face upward. They will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness, gloom and anguish. They will be driven away into darkness. Sounds a little bit like our culture today, a dark culture where things are grim and gloomy. But into this culture and into your world today, God is able to come in and speak. Verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1, and there will be no more gloom for her. It's a good word. There will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea, on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence and with the gladness of harvest as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be burned fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us and a son will be given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Lord, we just give this time to you right now. We ask that, Lord, you'd give us the discipline now to hear your word as it's proclaimed. We ask for discipline. We ask that you'd help us to love you with all our minds today. And Lord, give us the passion to serve you today. We're thankful for Mighty God and Wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace. So, Lord, we just ask that you'd bless us, be with this service. God, give us ears to hear and help us to be doers of the word. For your sake, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so last 2 weeks ago, Wonderful Counselor, that if you're struggling today with need for answers, God is a wonderful counselor. He intends to counsel you well. and opposed to all the worldly counsel that we get and all the things that we see on TV that promises to give us great joy. Indeed, God counsels us differently. He is a wonderful counselor, never going to steer you the wrong way. Mighty God, mighty in his humility. Mighty in the attribute of grace that he gives us, mighty God. Not just mighty in his ability to bail you out, to meet your needs, but mighty in his compassion, mighty in his grace, mighty God. And then today, I want to look at Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace. And just to kind of hone in on this passage, everybody, and I'm not talking about, because I started to, you know, do a Google search on peace. And then on the images, I saw the peace sign. And I was like, yeah, that's really not the peace we're talking about. We're not talking about the 1960s, 70s peace debacle, as in peace, no war. That's not the kind of peace we're talking about. That's nothing wrong with that kind of peace, but that's certainly not the kind of peace God promises. God promises a much deeper peace. Yes. No war. We could live in a world without war and there'd be still a lot of trouble. Right. We could live in a world where there was no ISIS and there would still be things happening inside you that God can answer for, that no war is not the real solution. So peace. I'm going to invite you to Luke chapter 2. There's no way that we're going to do a Christmas series without looking at Luke chapter 2, Jesus' birth. I want to just kind of spend, so since I know, and I know this already, that everybody in this room is coming back tonight. I know that. Everybody in this room is coming back. And so because that's true, I'm going to preach a short message. That's not a joke, Bill. Bill was laughing. He turned to his wife and he started to laugh. I'm going to try. Sarah, I'm going to try, because I know you're coming back tonight, and I know that, so everybody here, this is my gift to you. For coming back tonight, we're going to preach a short message, all right? But don't hold me to that. Anything set up here can change at any moment. You know that. Luke chapter 2, Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. I want to read this passage because I think it tells us something about the nature of God, the nature of peace, and the kind of God that we serve. Indeed, the gift that God gave us 2,000 years ago, what does this gift entail? This is not just something that happened 2,000 years ago in the ancient past that does not have a real implication in my life today. Okay, what happened 2,000 years ago actually is the reason why we're here. Because what happened 2,000 years ago has actual consequences and has a meaning for us. It means that the way that we live and what we do is different. And so Luke chapter 2, now in those days, verse 1, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of Bethlehem, which is called the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David. And in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And there suddenly appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And so in verse 14, we have the introduction of this idea that with Jesus comes peace among men with whom he is pleased. I want to look at this passage and invite us to think about what it is to have peace. Let's look at verse 8. In the same region there were, this is interesting as we work our way through this. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And I just wrote a little note here. It's interesting. So who's entitled to this gift of God, the gift of peace and all the benefits that come with life in Christ? And the first real announcement of this came to shepherds. Shepherds. God in his infinite wisdom skipped through the PR people, the people that have to sell this news. God skips through the PR campaign and goes straight to the people that matter the most, the shepherds. So I'm not entitled to, I've done too much, I'm nothing. God doesn't come to the kingly class, and if you don't mind my saying this, Dale, the political class. God doesn't come to those people. God comes to the people that have the needs, the people at the streets. He skips through all of the people of nobility, the people that have enough, too much, no need of God. And he comes to the shepherds, the people that have to work at night late, watch their sheep. The working class, that's who God skips right to. I think that's good news for us, isn't it? That these are the people that God wants to, the people who haven't arrived. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And these shepherds were terribly frightened. As maybe you and I would, I think we would all be scared if, I think we're awfully close to the Lord right now. But right now, if we could imagine that, and I don't even know what an angel looks like, but something that we would immediately recognize as an angel. They knew, had to know something. So an angel shows up behind me and starts to speak. Maybe we would leave the room. I don't know what your reaction would be. My guess is we'd be fearful, kind of in a good reverent way. And fear would immediately strike our hearts. How many kind of feel this? If you're out in the middle of a field doing your normal stuff, not in church, where we might think this might happen in a church setting, we're just at work at night, tending to things, doing our own thing, and then the angel shows up. Now, definitely you have a cause for fear. And it seems like in the Old Testament, I was thinking about this, it's like, why would they be fearful? Like, angels are pretty nice. Except the thing is, angels in the Old Testament, almost every time they come, they're the bearers of bad news. This is not great, you know what I mean? So they immediately see an angel, and they think something's going to happen, like Sodom and Gomorrah. You have to leave right now. Something's coming, you know? Bad news. This is not bad news. And so he says, don't be frightened. I mean, that's our immediate reaction anyway, to be fearful. Listen, don't be frightened. Well, we have a reason to be. You're here. Nope, don't be. Good news. The angel stood before them and shone around them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people." Then he goes on to say about peace on earth. I want to say one thing that I think the angel is pronouncing here is what peace is in your life. And I struggle with, everybody here knows that I struggle with, I've been open about it, with anxieties. Anxiety, part of anxiety is fear-based. Are you hearing this? So So we are in a season, I hate the worst because I hate when my kids get sick. And I know it sounds awfully sort of, nobody likes their kids to get sick. But what happens with me when my kids get sick and they start throwing up, I get a panic attack. I don't know why. I know that it's silly, Dolores. I understand it. But I get all weird. Or if my kids start running a fever, then I start to think, my brain starts to go, I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to start throwing up. I jump to that. And then at 2 a.m, I hear them coughing. Oh my gosh, they're about to throw up. So anxiety goes up, and this happens all the time. And it's horrible. It's not really funny. It's not funny. I saw you laughing. It is sort of funny if you've never dealt with it, but if you're like me, how many are kind of like me? Just not to sell yourself out, but you have struggled with anxiety, not maybe to that extent. So it's not very common. And I struggle with this. And what I don't know what I'm fearful of, but anxiety has a lot to do with fear. I'm scared that, I remember the first time I was anxious and fearful was the first time Micah got sick. I didn't even know what anxiety was, to be honest. And he had run a fever for several days. Next thing we know, we're in Vallejo in California, and he's got IVs on. But then he started to third space, where the fluid's not getting into the bloodstream. It's collecting outside, and so his fever's 105. And I just got to the point, I'll never forget, I got to the point where I could not function. And I just couldn't even think straight. I said, Kelly, I got to go. I left, I get in the car, I'm driving around. I could not handle what was happening. My anxiety, I couldn't breathe. Like now I'm starting to have this anxiety feeling right now, sort of this feeling of anxiety. So it's horrible. This is the most horrible. This is the first time I ever had an anxiety attack. So I think that's why, so like with my kids, it's like, man, I feel like I'm not in control. If they start getting sick, you know, what happens if they have to go to the hospital, God forbid. And so my mind just goes into immediate fear mode. So this speaks to me a little bit because fear is anxiety or leads to anxiety and nobody wants to be afraid. Maybe there are financial problems or some circumstance that you cannot control and you're living in constant fear in your life. I love this. This wonderful angel with the wisdom of God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Exchange your fear for this good news that I am giving you. God is good and God is here. That's the good news. He's about to be born over there. What are you scared of? This is a good day. Nothing to be afraid of because I'm just an angel, but the God of the universe was just born a mile on that side of the hill, and he wants to minister to you and bless you, and he's a good God. That is good news. That is good news. And it's peace. In the middle of terrible circumstances, we have a God who was born for us. And he's not distant. He's not far away. He's here. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Not far away, not detached from your problems, not detached from your circumstances. God is here. The angel stood and said, "Don't be frightened, for behold, I bring you good news, great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, Luke doesn't talk about it, but I want to just turn. You don't have to. Matthew chapter 2 tells us something about a God who's here, a God who wants to intercede for us, a God who is here for us, born unto for unto us is born. God is giving himself to us as a benefit. what does that look like? I like Matthew chapter 2. It's an obscure truth, but if you'll notice in verse chapter 11, if you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. These are the kings. These are the kings. And they fell to the ground and they worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and they presented to him what is clearly three gifts that signify things about God in some way. And so they give God gold, which is a picture of obviously the kingly nature of who this child is. And they offer frankincense, which is a picture of a priest, the priestly line. And then they offer myrrh, which is an ointment to use to bury. This is clearly a picture of the burial of Jesus. But I want to look at frankincense for a minute because it speaks a little bit to this idea of God and the peace that he gives us. So frankincense is kind of a cool thing. Frankincense was here's what it means. Frank means open. The word frank means open, honest, no hindrance, no wall, completely open. And incense means to burn. So frankincense was something that in the Old Testament, a certain class of people would use to burn, and that smell would go up to God. Who were those people that would burn things, offerings to God in the Old Testament? Who were those people? You got to be involved now. The priest, thank you. Who said that? Thank you, Peg. Peg gets the prize. Okay, Peg gets the prize, Mark. All right. So the priests are the ones that would burn this open incense, that burn this up to God. The priest. It's interesting, actually, that so frankincense speaks to priests. Are you following that? Frankincense is a picture of God's being a priest in some way. But what is a priest? So a priest in Latin, I don't know Latin too much, but here I know. This I do know. The priest, the word for priest in Latin is pontifex. And we translate this as priest. But pontifex actually means, if you were translating it like really translating it literally, a pontifex means bridge builder, a bridge builder. So what you have in a priest is someone that builds a bridge. Well, in what way do they build a bridge? Well, God to man, a bridge from God to man. That's what it is. It's a bridge builder, a priest. He's able to intercede and connect, make connections that you aren't able to make without this priest involved. So we're not Catholics, but Catholics believe that you don't have the ability to just be able to connect to God without some mediator, so God's way over there, I'm over here, and I need somebody to bridge build, so I'm going to call the priest so that they can bring my petitions to God in some way. Are you following that? That's what a priest does. But see, the thing is, Jesus is our high priest, and so what Jesus does is he becomes, so that's the reason why he gets this frankincense. Right? So Jesus becomes our high priest, and now he is a bridge to God. Jesus is the ultimate bridge builder. Now, in a world when I'm separated from God and I need God, Jesus comes in from the form of a child to be born, so that now we have an open, honest, easy relationship with God, because Jesus builds the bridge from us and our humanity unable to connect with God. Jesus and the person, God become flesh, builds a bridge so that now we have a mediator between God and man in the person of Jesus, and this mediator actually works, right? No need for frankincense. All we have to do is just come to Jesus. So what bridge building does, everybody following this morning? Are you connecting here? So what bridge building does, it actually, what Jesus did when he came was to make peace between God and man. How do you make peace? You build bridges. You build bridges. You know, you tear down walls. In our world, the way you make peace, in our world, the way you make peace is to build walls, unfortunately. Well, we don't need to have wars over there, so let's build a wall. We'll make sure that we get along. We're going to build a nice big wall. That actually works sometimes. It keeps people that don't like one another. Hey, you know what? We're not going to get along. We don't like one another. Let's build a wall. Okay, there's peace. That ain't real peace. That's sort of just containing a lot of hatred and a lot of anger. That's not peace. But that's one way that we sort of make peace in our world. We negotiate. What else do? We make boundaries. Right? Okay, this is your property. This is mine. Don't get on my property. I won't get on yours. We won't argue. You do whatever you want on your property. I'll do what I want to. So this is Iraq. This is Iran. This is this. This is that. Everybody. This is Israel. And everybody's got their space. And hopefully that keeps everybody sort of nice to one another, right? So everybody's got their little thing. So Jesus's peace is different than that. Jesus doesn't put walls up. Life in Christ is about tearing down walls. No more divisions. Perfect communion with God. So I think this is pretty cool news for you, especially if you're struggling today and you're struggling with peace. God wants to have relationship with you. He's brought the person in the name of Jesus to come to earth to die for us, so that now there's a bridge between me and God, and I'm able to commune with God, and there's no barrier whatsoever. The only barrier there is the barrier in your heart that says no. That's the only barrier. But God's got no barrier here. So now I've done too much. I've messed up too much. Listen, here's the thing: is you haven't. God's got a bridge. The only thing stopping you from taking advantage of that bridge is yourself. God's got a bridge. I need God. I need God in my life. God's available. That's the good news. I need something. I'm missing something. I need answers. God's available. He's here. He was born 2,000 years ago, and he was born to bring peace to you so that there's no longer a wall between you and God. God tore that down in the person of Jesus. But all you have to do is ask him. It's easy. That's good news. That's what we celebrate when we celebrate Christmas, is the ultimate bridge builder coming to earth to build a bridge so that I can have a relationship with God. I feel like this is exciting. I feel like this is good news. I feel like in a world that the best they have to offer is money-back guarantees, that God's a good deal. God says, back to Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior." Not for somebody else. Not for the guy across the street who deserves it. Born for you. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Born for you, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. I find this striking. The angel shows up, and the angel says, "Don't be afraid. This is great, good news. Trust me on this. And I'm going to show you a sign. This is going to be unbelievable. When you see this sign, you're not going to believe it. How this is definitely God, okay? And the sign is a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger." Oh, that doesn't seem like much of a sign. And it doesn't seem like God being heralded down from eternity, coming down to earth. God here, where is the sign of God's power and deity in this? You know what I mean? Where is the sign? That's the sign? That's the sign? A baby wrapped in clothes? It's not a sign. but it is a sign. It's a sign of a God who loves you enough that the God of the universe would humble himself to be born in a manger. That's the sign. That doesn't seem like a sign. God should be showing up like with trumpets, and there should be like gold everywhere, and there should be like, this should be awesome. That's a sign. Well, see, the problem is that most of us today, even if you're hearing me today and you're thinking, yeah, I want God to show up in my life, and you're looking for a sign, you're looking for something big to show that God's here, and God's already given the sign. God's already given the sign, and it happened 2,000 years ago in a box, in a wooden box with animals around. That was the sign. You don't need a sign. God is here, and you're looking for something big to show that God cares. God did it already. He did it already. He came 2,000 years ago for us. That's the sign. No more signs needed. He's here. He came. He loves you so much that he would prove that he wants to have relationship with you, that he would be born in a manger. That's the sign. So I'm not sure God loves me. He was born in a manger for you. He loves you. I'm not sure he really cares. Listen, goats and sheep around him in the cold, that's how God came. No trumpets. No fanfare. Governments didn't know about it, just shepherds. God loves you. You're fine. No worries. No. I'm not sure. I'm really struggling with this. I've done so much. Listen. God loves you. He came 2,000 years ago for you, and he did it to die on the cross for you. He did it to build a bridge so that there's no longer that barrier between you and God. God tore all that down in the person of Jesus. And so all you need to do is reach out and say, I take relationship. I want relationship with the God of the universe. That's real peace. That sort of peace that medications can't give you. That's like peace that's way deep down. That's a piece that says, you know what? My world is falling apart, but God is for me. God loves me. I'm okay. That's a piece that says, even in the middle of my worst possible circumstance, my illness, my this, my that, the circumstances of my life, no matter how difficult it is, I know that God loves me so much that he would be born in this box. What a sign that he would do that for me, to die for me. And I have a good relationship with the God that created me and created the whole world, the expanse of the whole universe. I mean, we said it last week, but I mean, imagine how much energy it takes to create the universe. I mean, if we tried to bottle up energy to create planets and solar systems, how much energy does it take to create an entire universe? The whole, everything that you see, how much energy does that take? Okay, that's a powerful God. And God, that God that's so powerful, loves you and would become a baby for you. Oh, that's tremendous peace. I have a relationship with the God of the universe, this big transcendent God that loves me. I have nothing to worry about. What am I panicking about? I'm panicking about this little silly insignificant thing, but God's for me. He loves me. That's good news. That's good news. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he's well pleased. We're not talking about peace. No wars isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about a peace between you and God. Do you have that peace today? There may be somebody in the room that's like, yeah, I don't feel at peace. I feel ill at ease. I do not feel peace in my life. My life is falling apart. God is here. He's got answers. So I don't have a relationship with God. That's the better news. God wants to have a relationship with you. That's good news. He came to earth to build a bridge so that there's no division, so that you can have real peace with God. It's like, well, I'm not sure I want peace with God. You really do. You don't want to have a bad day with God. You want to make sure that if you have peace with anybody, your wife and God for sure. That's who you want peace with. You want to have peace with God. God wants to have peace with you. And so he sent his son to do that, to build a bridge so that you have no barrier. It doesn't mean that your life's going to be great, but it means that you're going to be partnering with a God who is for you, not against you. It means that you're going to be partnering with a God who loves you. It means that you're going to be partnering with a God who has his best intention for you in his mind. That sounds like a good deal. Well, that's Christmas. That's Christmas. That God came to earth to be born in a manger for us. God is good. God is good. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we just thank you for the word, for the word become flesh. We're thankful for all that you've done. You're a good God. You deserve all our worship, all our praise. Lord God, we ask now that you would be ever present, ever in this room. Lord God, that those in this room that would be honest with themselves, that they don't have a relationship with you. Lord God, we just ask that you'd be with them. Give them the courage Lord, to get that settled right now. And we believe that you want to do that, God. You came to earth to have a relationship with us. You're in this room. You want to have a relationship with us. And so, Lord, we just ask that you'd bless the rest of our time. With your eyes closed, your head still bowed, I just want to give an invitation to you. If you don't know the God of the universe in the person of Jesus, I want to give you a chance to do that. I don't presume to know anybody in this room. I don't know what you did in your heart, but I tell you, the good news is that God wants to have a relationship with you. He desires that deeply, so much so that he would come to earth, condescend to be with us 2,000 years ago, to die on the cross for us so that he could take care of the problem that we all have, and that's the sin barrier. God built a bridge in the person of Jesus, lived this perfect life, and took the payment for our sin and died on the cross. And so now we just accept that payment. And that's good news. That's good news. So I don't do this often, but I want to do this morning. If you would be bold enough and brave enough to say, I've never done that. I don't have the relationship with the God of the universe. We said, well, I'm not sure if I have a relationship with the God of the universe. Well, so I happen to think that if you don't know if you have a relationship with the God of the universe, you just might not. It's hard to enter into a relationship with somebody that big and not know that you did. And so if you say, well, I'm having doubts, I'm struggling with that, I want to give you as a Christmas gift to you an opportunity to get that settled today. And I just want to invite you now. If you say, well, I need prayer, I don't know that I know Jesus as my personal Savior, would you just slip your hand up? I want to take note of that and pray for you, and maybe connect with you later. If you feel it, you're not sure. Oh, amen. Well, God is good. He's for you. He's not against you. God is for you today. And you need to know that. And everybody in this room, I'm speaking to everybody. God is for you. He loves you. And he wants you to have a perfect relationship with him. And I want to invite you at some point, connect with me. If you don't know for sure, even if you didn't raise your hand, come forward at some point, connect with me, connect with Lucas. We want to help you to get your relationship with God right. And God's eager to do that. He's eager to do that. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Again, we